So, boys and girls, I've got some questions for you. So, do you know the difference between a sign and a symbol? What's a sign? Do you know what a sign is? You know what a sign is. What does a sign do? Yeah, go ahead. It tells you something. It tells you where to, it might tell you about something, or it tells you where to go to something. But the sign isn't what it's telling you about, right? So if it says Disneyland 365 miles, what does that mean? Disneyland is 365 miles away from the sign. So the sign isn't Disneyland, even though it says Disneyland. And then when you get to outside Disneyland, and there's a big saying sign that says Disneyland, is that Disneyland? Is the sign Disneyland? No, it isn't. What is the sign? It's telling you you're at Disneyland. You have yet to go into it. So the sign itself is not pointing to it, but it's pointing to where it is. So that's the sign. Now, what's a symbol? It's a little more complicated. Yeah. Correct. That's right. It represents. You're right. It like the cross represents the crucifixion. It represents Christ. Very good. That's right. Or a dove will represent peace. And a flag oftentimes represents the country and so on and so. So it points to something, but it represents what it points to. It itself, like the cross, isn't Christianity itself. It represents it. Like a dove isn't peace itself. It represents peace. So one points to something that it is, and the other one represents something that it is. Does that make sense? Haven't lost you yet. Here comes the hard part. A sacrament. Oh, I think we got the parents. Let's see if we can get any help from the audience. Right then, we're back to you kids. That didn't take long, did it? See, they don't know much more than you do. So, but the sacrament is a special type of sign or special type of symbol, right? It points to something. The sacrament points to something and is what it points to. Ooh. I know you look confused. I'm confused too. So the bread and the wine, right, points to what? Body and blood of Christ. Very good. And it is what it points to. After we say the prayers, it will be and is, in fact, the body and blood of Christ. So a sacrament is what it points to. The baptismal waters, when you get baptized into a member of the church, you become a member of the church. It is what it points to. That's the sacrament. Whew. Okay, we're done with the tough part. Is that okay? Now that you guys have learned it too. For your future First Communion. So here's the reason why I bring it up, boys and girls, is because today's scripture is from the Gospel of St. John, and it's full of really rich symbolism. And most, don't worry, your parents wouldn't have got any of the symbolism anyway. They didn't get the other, they definitely wouldn't get this one, right? But there's really rich symbolism. If we miss it, we miss the whole important part of this Gospel. And it's really important for your first Eucharist. So let's go through some of the symbolism at a higher level, right? Just to catch it, just to see it. Now, some of this is obvious, like, and some of it is not so obvious. So the obvious one is a little obvious, maybe not so, but Jesus, they go out and they start fishing at night. Symbolism of the dark means that they are in sin. And then they come in the morning and Jesus arrives and he is the light of the world and he tells them to go fish on the other side. And then they have an abundant fish. So Jesus is always the light of the world. That's a little more of it. But do you notice the number? How many fish were there caught? Do you remember? 153. Strange number, isn't it? Why 153? It's a sign. It's a symbol, remember? It's a symbol. Back then, they believed there was 153 different types of variety of fish. So it was a symbol to say it was all the fish. And then it goes on, the net didn't break. Another symbol, remembering that Christ, when he gathers the flock of all people, nobody will be left out. Nobody will be broken away. So these are all rich. But the one I want to focus on, much richer. Did you notice anything about how many times that Jesus asked Peter? Do you remember how many times? Three times. Do you have any idea why it might be three times? No. Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Nah, close, no. Okay? Now, it gives you, here's the part that's really cool. Because the gospel writers figured out you probably wouldn't guess, they give you another symbol to remind you just in case you miss it. And it's the charcoal. You go, huh? Charcoal fire was mentioned. It was only mentioned one other time in the whole gospel. It was meant to go, oh, I remember hearing the charcoal fire. Where did we read about the charcoal fire? Do you remember where we read about the charcoal fire? Somebody was standing, warming themselves at the charcoal fire. Oh, we're not going back that far. We're only talking about Jesus. You're going back way, way further. Whoa, that's really going back a couple thousand years. Okay. So Peter was warming himself at a charcoal fire when Jesus was getting condemned. And so it's meant to remember the charcoal fire, because what happens at the charcoal fire is Peter denies Jesus three times. So it's trying to make sure you don't miss the connection. Three times he denied him. Three times he affirmed him. Three times he's been forgiven for his mistakes. Now that may seem like really insane, but that's the whole important part of this gospel. Right? Now there's other things that are in here that are super important. Like he has breakfast. And everybody says that Jesus had the Last Supper the night before he died. But actually that's wrong. The Last Supper was breakfast. Did you know that? Look, your parents didn't get it either. Trust me. They're all going, what? Yeah, the Last Supper was breakfast with his disciples, risen, and this is it. And the reason why that's important is because the Last Supper in John's Gospel was about mission. He says, follow me. He doesn't stop with forgiving Peter. He doesn't rake him over the coals and say, hey, you've denied me. I remember you denied me three times. He doesn't do that. He just gently says, do you love me? And remember, Peter always wanted to be first. And he said, do you love me more than ever? Now, Peter's a little humble. And he goes, yeah, I love you. He doesn't say, I love you more than everybody. He just says, yeah, no, I love you, Lord. Because he remembers, he got the charcoal fire. He figured that one out very quickly. And then he asks him again, do you love me? Second time, he's forgiven him a second time. And he forgives him a third time. To remind him now that he is completely forgiven. And then don't forget what happens next. He says, come, follow me. Go and be disciples in the world. Okay, so that's all wonderful theology. You weren't expecting that as a theology lesson today. Rich symbolism that moves into the sacrament. Neither were your parents. So what? What has that got to do with your first communion? It has everything to do with your first communion. Because your whole life is full of rich symbolism. Everything we do has symbolism. In fact, we become the living symbol of Jesus Christ. But because you're going to make your first communion, you're not just going to become a symbol. You're not just going to become a sign. You're going to become a living sacrament of Jesus Christ. Because when you come forward to say amen for your first time, and we have done it umpteen times, what you're saying amen to is I'm going to become what I receive. I'm going to become this bread broken for others. I'm going to become the blood poured out for others. You're going to literally become Christ. No longer a symbol, no longer a sign. You are going to be Christ to others. So every little action, every little ordinary thing you say and do from here on out, you're pointing to Christ. You actually are Christ to others. Wow, that's not just important. That changes everything, boys and girls. That's why today is so important. And that's why your parents have invited other people to be here. Because it's super important that we understand what we do. Now, here's the incredible thing about it. Is we do it every Sunday. We make that outrageously bold claim every single Sunday that we are all going to become what we receive. We're going to break our lives open for others. We're going to give ourselves as a witness, as a sign, and a symbol, even more, a sacrament for Christ. Now, let's be honest. All your parents and grandparents and all of us come here every week because we know it's so hard. We come back for nourishment. And the first thing we say, and we said it again at the beginning of the Mass, is we made mistakes since the last time we were here. And so we wash ourselves in the baptism of water, or we ask the Lord to forgive us, and He does it, guess what? 3 times. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. That is not meant to be lost on us. It's the exact same number that Peter was given. We are given every single Sunday. So today, boys and girls, this is very exciting for us to watch you do it, but it's also incredibly important that we become witnesses with you, because you can't do it alone. It is so hard that we need to keep coming back here week after week. But understand, what you become today is a living sacrament of Christ. More than just a simple sign pointing, hey, there's Jesus on the cross. More than a symbol, like you're wearing a cross. No, you actually become Christ. You become the living sacrament broken for others. So everything you say and do, and the way you do it, matters. Because you're living Christ to others. Today, may this be the first of umpteen days ahead that you will become Christ and be Christ to others.